Good morning, everybody. Oh, that was lame. Let's try that again. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Amen. Great to see you guys here. Thanks for coming out today. I know your time is important, so I appreciate you giving me your next 3 hours. No, but amen. Glad to see you guys, and a great big happy new year to all you guys. Boy, as Carl says, you know, I am so glad to see 2020 gone. It was a rough year for all of us, you know, and so as we look at 2021, we've ushered in a new year. I can officially say that hindsight is 2020. Amen? Well, let's ask God's blessing as we get started and share together this morning. So, Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you, Father, for right now, for your presence here. Father, we thank you for the music. We thank you for the worship. And Father, we thank you for your spirit and your word here amongst us. So Lord, as we share time together, we just ask that you'd quiet our hearts, that you'd tune our ears and open our eyes to see what you have for us this morning. Father, I pray your blessing over each person here, for all those watching, all those listening, and we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. Good morning, everybody out in cyberspace. Good morning, Ben, Raina, Marianne, Danielle. I can say good morning to my entire family. Great to see you guys out there somewhere. Yes, 2020 was a tough year for all of us. You know, when you think about it, what's been over the news? It's been COVID. I don't know about you, but I am so sick and tired of hearing about COVID. If I read another article, if I hear another thing, I swear, I've had enough of it, and I'm sure you too. You know, it's not just COVID. When you take a look at what's been happening this whole year, our government, the whole political scene, it's a mess. It's disgusting. And the social stuff that's going on, there's division between us in America, and it shouldn't be that way. Not only is there division, unemployment's up, people are struggling with finances, people are dealing with health issues. Loneliness has been a huge thing today. Depression is at its highest, from my understanding. But with all that negative that's happening, I don't want us to focus on what's negative. I want us to take and redirect our thoughts on the things that are positive. And I believe that this morning I got a couple of things I want to share with you to help you in your walk with Jesus, to help you be encouraged this year. We need to focus on the things that are lovely and right and true, as it says in Philippians, and we'll get to that in a little bit. But I got two stories I want to share with you. The first one to kick it off, it's a story that I absolutely love. It makes me laugh, it makes me cry. It's a story that's a feel-good story. It's a fish story. And no, it's not Jonah. It's another story that's near and dear to my heart. It's Finding Nemo. Everybody here hear of Finding Nemo? It's a great story. And so if you don't know about Finding Nemo, let me kind of bring you into what the story is all about. So the story centers in on a little clownfish named Nemo and his father Marlin. And as the story begins out, a tragedy strikes Nemo's home. A predator fish comes in and basically annihilates and kills off all his brothers and sisters, and his mother as well, leaving just his dad, Marlin, and Nemo by themselves. So as the story unfolds and progresses, we begin to see that little Nemo has been born with one fin that's a little bit smaller than the other. You might say that he's disabled. And so through this, being the fact that, you know, the whole family's been wiped out, his dad, Marlin, is anxious and worried over little Nemo. And he's trying to control every circumstance, trying to control every area to protect him to make sure he's going to be okay. So where we bring it in this one scene, Nemo's been taken by a fisherman, and so this is where the story starts off, and Marlin is now in desperate search to find his little son Nemo and rescue him and bring him back home. So here we are, and this clip that we're going to roll here, he has a friend that he picks up along the way named Dory, and we find that Dory and Marlin find themselves in the belly of a whale. Let's roll that tape. I love that scene. It's so powerful. There's so much truth in that. There is an aha moment that just happened for Marlin here. You ever have an aha moment where it's like, poof, suddenly life has slowed down, time has come to a halt, and you just realize for the first time something? It took Marlin 3/4 of the movie to figure that out. For some of us, it takes a lifetime to figure out some of the things that are the most important things in our lives. Marlin discovered the fact that, in reality, it wasn't Nemo that was dealing with a disability. Marlin was dealing with a disability. He couldn't let go of the anxieties and the worries that are keeping him from experiencing all that was good. It wasn't Nemo that needed to be rescued. It was Marlin that needed to be rescued. And there's a truth here I really want us to grasp, because this is something that's been kind of working in me over these last couple weeks during the whole Christmas season. The truth is this, that anxiety and worry can keep you crippled. Anxiety, worry can keep you from experiencing all God's best. God's got a beautiful life plan for each and every one of us, but sometimes we get so sidetracked, we get so caught up in everything around us that we miss the forest from the trees. We miss what God's got for us right here and right now. According to New York Times, they say that Americans are the most stressed people on the face of this earth. Can you believe that? Here we are, we've got everything, but yet we're still dealing with stress and anxiety way above the rest of the world. In clinical studies, psychologists have figured out 95% of the time, most of the things that we stress over and deal with actually never happen. When you think about that, that's huge, 95%. And of the 5% that actually does happen, they said that 4 out of 5 times, most of those things aren't even come close to what they really could have been. They really worked out way better than they anticipated. And for most people, they really walked away with a great lesson from it. In the end, we've made things way bigger than they really need to be. You know, we stress over, but stress for me is there's no half and half in the refrigerator. Stress for me is where's the remote, or I got to wait an extra minute for something. Look, God doesn't want us to worry. God doesn't want us to stress. God wants us, it's you and I, to be able to have an abundant life. And that abundant life is not found in stressing over the things of this world. Abundant life is found in walking with Jesus Christ. So if there's anything that you take away from my message this morning, I want you to know and remember this. It's time to let go. It's time to let go of the hurts and the pains and the anxieties and the worries and the concerns and all the other things that consume your mind. And I want you to understand that everything is gonna be okay. Just like Dory said, you can trust Dory. You can count on her word. Just like you can trust in God's word, everything is gonna be okay. Now, next story I want to share with you is another great story. This is a story about two sisters. No, it's not White Christmas, okay? But it's another two sisters. And if you have your Bible app, if you have your Bible, if you have it memorized, however you've got it, I want you to open up and turn with me to the book of Luke, Matthew, Mark, Luke. And we're going to be looking at Luke chapter 10. We'll be looking at and exploring verses 38 to 42 today. I'm going to be reading through verses 38 to 40. I'm in the New Living Translation. So look on and or listen as I read this first section. So it starts out and says, as Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he taught. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me. Does that sound like typical siblings? You know, one sister doing one thing, or one brother doing one thing, another brother doing another thing? Well, let's take and then set up the framework of this particular passage. This is such a cool passage. It's a snapshot in a moment of time where we can have the ability to capture what God's trying to teach us here. So as we dissect this, first I want to bring about the idea that this Mary and Martha, this is the same Mary and Martha that their brother was Lazarus, whom later on, as we read about it, Jesus rose him from the dead. Now, I want you to see a picture here of the fact that Martha has taken and welcomed Jesus into her home. What a picture of hospitality. Hospitality was such an important part of the Jewish culture. It was significant to them. It was a social requirement. And it not only was it a social requirement, it was a command. If you see in Leviticus, it talks about the idea that when a foreigner resides among you in the land, this is Leviticus 19:33-34, it says, do not mistreat them. Treat them like native-born Israelites and love them as you love yourself. Remember that you were once foreigners living in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Hospitality actually means love of strangers. It's the idea of treating strangers and friends alike. You invite a friend over to your house, you don't ignore him, you're going to spend time with him. Right? So here we are, we have the idea of hospitality, not only you know as a friend, but you are providing for their needs, you are caring for them, you are providing food and comfort and whatever else, just as if they were one of your own. And another part of this framework I want you to see here is that if you read into what we're talking about here, Martha was concerned about a big dinner that was going on. How big is that dinner? Well, let me just kind of put this in perspective to you. If you look back in Luke 10, verse 1, it talks about the idea that Jesus sent out another 70 or 72 disciples plus the 12 that he already had. Do the math, 70 or 72 plus another 12 is 84. Add Jesus to the mix, 85. Maybe Lazarus, Mary, Martha is there. We could quite conceivably be pushing 85, 90 people at this party. We don't know that, but the fact is this is not a small event. This is a big event. You know, so when you think about it, it's like, you know, yes, Martha, I would love to, come to dinner. You don't mind if I bring a few of my friends along, do you? 85 of them. And by the way, I got to tell you that 85 people is nothing for my wife as far as a party. She can put together a party like that. But you got to see the difference here. We've got microwave. We've got ice maker, electricity, gas stove. We got all the running water we need. Got to remember, back in this time, it wasn't so quick to say, I'm out of milk, I'm just going to run down to the local deli and grab it, or just pop that in the microwave for a few minutes. Got to recognize here, putting together a big party, even if it was just a small party, took a little bit of extra doing. It took some work. It took some time and some planning. So you got to, I want you to think here that this is something that may be weighing on Martha. I find a lot of humor in this particular passage as well when you look at it. Take a look at verse 39 for a minute. It says here that Mary sits on her fat butt eating chips and dip. Well, I don't know if it was chips and dip that she was eating, but it does say Mary sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he taught. Well, wait a minute. What the heck's going on here? What is she doing sitting around? There's this huge party that's got to be dealt with. Things have to be fixed. Things have to be prepared, sliced, diced, whatever the case is. And Mary chooses to sit here at Jesus' feet? Something's wrong here with that. But it's not Mary's butt we need to be concerned with here. It's Martha's. Take a look at verse 40. It says here, but Martha was distracted. Distracted means that it's something more than being just preoccupied or busy in the mind. She was distressed. She was anxious. And I think you guys would be anxious too. After all, it's not every day that you've got the King of Kings, you've got the Messiah coming over your house. I'd like to think that, you know, I'm not the only one like Martha here. I'll admit that I can be type A, and I know Ben's probably watching on there. He knows how I am. I'm particular about my details. I'm particular in how I want things, and I get all anxious about stuff. And I'm sure we got probably a divided church here. Or there's those who can sit at Jesus' feet. But unfortunately, I happen to be a Martha. You know, I'm the one that wants to get, you know, things taken care of. I got a lot of things in my plan, whatever the case is. Whatever the case is, Martha was stressed. Martha was overwhelmed. And what she didn't need to see was her sister sitting there at Jesus' feet. What she was looking for was a little help. So Martha was focused on the big dinner, and being the excellent host that she is, she goes over to Jesus, and what does she say? Hey, Jesus, are you having a good time? Can I freshen up your drink? Would you care for another hors d'oeuvre? Are you comfortable enough? No, that's not exactly at all. Let's take a look at what Martha and Jesus talk about right here. So Martha goes in verse 40, says, but Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me. By the way, I can almost hear it just as she finishes that in the background from Mary. Martha, we're getting a little low on dip. Could you help out at that? I want you to start to think about the fact is it's so easy to get focused on the wrong things. So easy to get distracted by the things that we think are important to the things that really are important. Stay with me here as we're working through this here. Now, verse 41, I'm reading from the New Living Translation, and it says, Dear Martha, here we are, we have Jesus answering Martha's request. But if you have another translation, perhaps maybe you've got New American Standard, I think has it, maybe New King James Version, it says, Martha, Martha. Anytime you hear a name repeated twice, it's usually in a Jewish language, it's an idea of intimacy, it representing closeness, friendship, relationship. Martha, Martha. Simon, Simon. Even, you know, if you've read the scripture, not all those who say Lord, Lord, implying the fact that not all who say that they have a close relationship with me. So here, Jesus is not rebuking Martha. He's not scolding her and saying, oh, get back in the kitchen. Go do what you got her to do here. Now, of course, this is the tenderness of Jesus. This is the King that we serve, ready to build us up, ready to offer an encouraging word. And what does he say? He says, you are worried and upset over all these details. I'll admit that there's times where I can be the same way. I'm concerned about all the little things. And in the end, most of the stuff, like we read in the statistic, really doesn't amount to anything. My wife always used to say to me, remember the word kiss. Keep it simple, stupid. But she doesn't call me stupid. And also, I want you to make a point here to notice that Jesus does not say to Martha, Martha, what you're doing is wrong. At no point does he say that. Let's take a look at what he does say. And here's that aha moment, just like Marlin had in Finding Nemo. Verse 42, read with me. It says here, there is only one thing worth being concerned about, and Mary has discovered it. And it will not be taken from her. Was it the chips and dip that she discovered? No. Mary chose the better thing. Mary discovered that the best thing was spending time with Jesus. You know, and this kind of makes a point that ministry is a good thing. Doing things for Jesus is a great thing. Serving Jesus is a great thing. But serving Jesus does not equal relationship with Jesus. They're two totally different things. We could be doing all these things, but we still may not have that relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And you think about it, Martha had the privilege of having the King of Kings in her house. She had him right there. But she was concerned about all the little details, all things that need to be fixed, all things need to be taken care of. And I can tell you right now, that was the least of Jesus' concerns. Yes, he was a human. Yes, he needed to eat. Yes, he needed something to drink or whatever cases. But think of this for a second. Jesus didn't need Martha to put together this whole big party. If you, when you think about it, Jesus could have brought the wine. Jesus could have brought the bread. He could have brought the fish. He could have provided the entire party package all rolled in one. Point is, what we need to be able to do is we need to learn to refocus our thinking to what's the most important thing. What is the most important thing? And what you need to look at is it's time with Jesus. If we're going to learn to not be anxious, if we're going to learn to live the life that God's intended for us, we need to focus on Him and not the things of this world. So I've got three pieces of advice that I want to give you that I think that can help you to navigate these difficult times, to give you the life that God has called for all of us to have. And the first one is making choices. You know, we all talk about it. We have freedom of choice. We have freedom to choose the direction we want to go, freedom to choose whatever we want to do each day. Every one of us has got the same 24 hours in a day. What are you going to use? How are you going to use them? What are you going to choose to do with them? Right? If I start out in the morning, I got all my projects. You guys know I'm a builder. I got all these things I need to do. I could choose to start to put together a plan of all the things I need to take care of, all the things I need to get all my ducks in a row. Or I can choose the first part of my day to spend with Jesus. How are you going to choose your day? I can choose to look at the world either from Dory's perspective as the glass is half full or Marlin's perspective as the glass is half empty. It's, you have that choice. You can look at it saying, man, the world is going to pot, things are falling apart. Or you can say, yeah, God's still on the move. God's still working. God's making a way where there seems to be no way. God is victorious, and as I wrote in a little note, that at the end of every storm is a rainbow. And I'm expecting big things to happen this year. I just, in my heart, I feel that there's going to be a revival in the church. As God's moving and working, I see the hearts are hungry and people are looking to draw to God. See it as the glass is half full, not half empty. You know, we can't always change, and most of the times we can't change the circumstances around us. We can't change what's happening in government, in our society, but we have the ability to change our perspective. Choose to change your perspective on things. Number two, let go of the past. 2020 is now history. It's gone. We can't bring it back into the future. There's no sense dwelling on the past. There's no sense dwelling on the woulda, coulda, shouldas, all the things that you missed out on, all the things that hurt you, you know, people in your lives that you've struggled with. Let it go, like Frozen. Let it go. Everything's going to be okay. We need to be living in the present. In fact, we need to be forward-thinking. In Philippians 3:13, Paul says, "This thing I do, I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead." We need to forget what's behind us and change our perspective, our focus to what's in front of us and what's ahead of us. We need to be having an internal perspective. We need to be having a God perspective. It's not back there. It's ahead of us. God's not sitting on the throne, you know, pointing fingers at you, you know, telling you about all the negative things that you've done or things you've missed, okay? You need to do the same thing for yourself. You need to let go of those things that are keeping you from moving forward. And number three, one thing I found as I was moving into this season, I was finding myself becoming anxious and bothered in a way that was setting me off in my thinking. As you recognize that when anxiety kicks in, it creates a domino effect, and one thing affects another, and before you know it, you're making things way bigger than they really are. You would need to stop that, and one of the things you need to do is enter into God's rest. I found myself being so busy with so many things going on, I failed to enter into God's rest. God says, "One day in seven you shall rest from your labors." That was not a suggestion. That was a command by God. And that was something before, in a sense, the law was even given. He showed us that example right back in the book of Genesis. And Jesus adds that. He says, man wasn't made for the Sabbath, but Sabbath was made for man. And I believe that when we're talking about the Sabbath, it's encompassing more than just our physical body rest, but it encompasses our mental, our emotional, our spiritual, and our physical well-being completely. So how do we do that? How do we enter into God's rest? I think it's more than just one day a week. I believe that we can enter into God's rest daily. Matthew 6 gives us that little hint, and when Jesus is talking, he's talking about worry and anxiety, and he tells us not to worry about life's matters, whether we have enough food to eat, whether we have enough drink, or what we're going to wear. He says these things dominate the thoughts of the unbeliever. It shouldn't dominate us as believers. We should be at a point in our lives where we're not at all concerned about the things that are going on around us. Why? Because we know that our Heavenly Father's got this. He goes on to say, he says, our Heavenly Father already knows what we need before we even ask Him. He's got it. He knows it. But Jesus finishes his thought in 6:33. He says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Have a kingdom perspective. Put the time into God. So what do? We enter in His rest through prayer. Prayer is communion with God. Prayer is simply communicating and talking with God. Paul, Apostle Paul echoes the same thought that Jesus did in 6 in chapter 4. If you take your Bibles and turn over to chapter 4 of Philippians, we're going to be looking at verses 6, 7, and 8. Paul says in verse 6, he says, "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done." Don't worry about just the couple things. Don't worry about the big things. No, he says, don't worry about anything. That means every little detail. It means every little small thing, every little big thing. Don't worry about any of it. In fact, he goes on to say, he says, don't worry about it, but pray about it. Pray about everything. He says, tell God what you need and thank him. Some translations will have prayer with supplication. And supplication is the idea that we are earnestly seeking God. We are humbly seeking after him about what concerns us. And look what it says here at the end of verse 6. And it says, and thank him for all that he's done. All too often we come with our bucket full of all the things we want to throw onto God, all our things that we need, all the things that we're struggling with. How about starting out with a little bit of thanksgiving? How about starting out with a little bit of praise? How about starting out with a lot of praise and start thanking God for what he has already done, what he's continued to do, and what he will do? There's so many things in our lives that we can be thankful about. We need to start keep our focus off of what's happening in the world, all the negatives, all what's wrong, and focus on all that is good. Prayer needs to be the first thing in our lives, not the last thing. The minute something comes up, go right to God in prayer. There's an Old Testament scripture that says that God delights in every detail of our lives. He's concerned about whatever you're concerned about. And by the way, anything that you can dump on the God can handle it, okay? So there's nothing too big, nothing too small that God can't take care of. But let's change our focus and let's start communing with God. Take a look at verse 7, what verse 7 says. It says, then you experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. If we're looking to deal with our anxieties, if we're looking to not have all the worries, concerns, this is where the answer is. As we commune with God, give it over to him, he says here, we can experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we understand. His peace will guard our hearts and our minds as we live in Christ Jesus. Don't you get it? Communion with God, prayer with God, is actually entering into his rest. As we spend time with him, we don't have to wait until Sunday to rest. We can enter into his rest each and every day, every moment of every day. So as the world is exploding around us, bombs are going off. I think of Psalm 23, and he says, he prepares a banquet for me before my enemies. I get the idea that, you know, I don't know why I have this British idea in my mind, but guys sit there having a cup of tea while bombs and everything are blowing up. He's at peace because he knows that the Lord is his shepherd who's taking care of everything. He's communing with God. I'm going to tell you that had Martha spent the time with Jesus like Mary did, she would have recognized that she was getting hung up on all this stupid stuff, and where Jesus wanted to just come over and say, come on, Martha, just let's hang out. Let's spend some time together. Don't worry about this stuff. You know what I'm saying? I'll whoop up a couple batches of wine. We'll get some bread and fish. Everything's going to be okay, right? Let's take a look at verse 8 of Philippians 4:8. It says, now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about the things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Again, when we're talking about entering into rest, we need to take our minds off the stupid stuff that you're hearing on TV. Shut the news off, shut the TV off, stop reading the paper and the magazines. You know, the stuff is designed to get a rise out of you. It's designed to create stress in you. Remove anything and everything that causes you anxiety, but that's not your spouse, okay? So what your key is that what you think about will make you or break you, okay? Let's start focusing on the things that are lovely and right and true. All right, so I want to bring this to a close. So I'm going to ask everybody to stand. And with your eyes closed and your heads bowed, just listen as I'm talking for a minute. God wants each and every one of us to let go of some things, some struggles, some concerns, our anxieties, the stresses of life. That's not what God's designed for us as brothers and sisters in Christ. God has promised us an abundant life found in Jesus Christ. God has promised us that we can have peace in spite of all the circumstances and all the struggles that we're dealing with around us. God promises that he said he will never leave us or forsake us, that he'll be with us through everything. God never promised us a rose garden, but God promises that he'll always be with us and love us. But God wants us to let go of these things so that way we can press on. God wants us to know that as we let go, that everything's going to be okay. The question for you this morning is, what are you hanging on to? What are you stressing over? What are the things that are distracting you and keeping you from communing with Jesus? What are you doing that's keeping you from entering into Jesus' rest? 1 Peter 5:7 says, "Cast all your cares onto him, for he cares for you." Jesus is listening to your heart right now. He knows what you're dealing with. He knows what's ailing you. Jesus says to let it go. Jesus is saying to you right now, it's going to be okay. I've got this. Father, you know each person here. You know their hearts. You know what they're struggling with. There's not one person in this room that's probably not struggling with something. Father, you know what our needs are. And so we give them and we lay them at your feet. Father, we pray that you would give each person the faith to trust you with what they're letting go of. The faith to trust you that you've got this and that you're going to take care of and meet all our needs. Father, I pray your blessing over each person here this morning, that you would bring them encouragement, that you would bring them your perfect peace, and that you would hold them in the palm of your hand. Father, as we go this morning, as we start up this year, help us to carry these things with us, to make the right choices, to commune with you, to enter into your rest, to choose to spend time with you. Help us to put first things first, Father, the things that are most important. Father God, I just pray a double blessing over each one here, Father. And I pray that you would use them this week in a powerful, powerful way, Father, to share the hope that lies within them to those around them. I pray, Father, this morning that you would just give a double dose of your blessing over each one here. And I pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.